Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It is an F off Friday, and today feels like the perfect day to just F off.
I signed up for it.
What are we doing with this weather here? Your boy just wants some sunshine and some suds, if we're being honest.
I've got no golf plan for the weekend because it's going to rain all weekend, so I'm very agitated by that development. My mom's coming in town. We're going to paint on Sunday, so I can't say, I like to see my mom. That's great, but painting's not the most fun I've ever had. So
your weekend's already over.
Yeah, let's make this a day.
Yeah, it's practically Monday for you.
It might as well be Monday for me.
Well, listen, I have to start this. This is a public service call right here. With love and respect to every NBA guest that we've had on this week, where I do think there's an element in the NBA. And this doesn't happen with the Celtics because they've already won a championship. But like with a team like Cleveland, when they're coming off just ridiculous success in the first round series and there's a jump up in competition, I don't think I've heard too many NBA people ever predict a non-LeBron James Cavs series to go less than five games. Meaning, it's always been, Cavs, it's going to be six or seven games, but the Cavs are going to win. That's as good as it gets if you're Cleveland. And I've seen everybody on the station play it super safe. This is going to be a tough fought series. Guys, the Pacers can be a step up in competition from the Miami Heat, and you can still blow the doors off these guys. And when I say blow the doors off, I mean it could still be a five-game series. And I've heard a bunch of cautious Cathys out here because we live in a business where it doesn't matter what you really think. It matters whether you're right or wrong in the people's minds who are actually doing it, even though there's no universal scoreboard, even though none of this matters.
No one remembers if you're right anyway.
No one's going to remember if you're right or not. And even if they do, they're focusing on the wrong thing, right? So I just want to say, just out loud here, with conviction, I'm going to say it with my chest. The reality is Cavs in five. And anyone saying in Cleveland, was there a 14-win differential between the Cavs and the Pacers, or was there not? All right, did the Cavs blow the doors off the Heat? And I know, listen, it was a five-game series, a gentleman sweep of the Bucks. It's Giannis and a bunch of, you didn't even have Dame Lillard for most of that series, for all that series. And Doc Rivers is coaching. Like, there's this fear of just saying it with our chest, as it were, that the Cleveland Cavaliers are that much better than the Indiana Pacers. Jack, I'm here to tell you, the Cavs are that much better than the Pacers. But, well, what if I say it's going to go five games and then it goes six games? Oh, my credibility is shot. That's a made-up thing. It doesn't matter. Like, for the love of God, Cavs in five. All right, when we get to the Celtics series, if I'm saying Cavs in five, call me a homer. All right, but today, the day 2 days before game one of a series in which you should be favored to win in five games. I think six games is the most likely outcome. I think that's where Vegas had it, Cavs in six. But the point is, everybody in town is walking on eggshells talking about this series. It's like, guys, Tyrese Halliburton is not one of the two best players on the championship team. He's a really nice piece, but he's their best player by a mile. Stop Tyrese, the playmaker, not the scorer, the playmaker, and this series is going to be over quick. Yes, these games might not be just 30-point blowouts. Oh, gosh. But
Vegas says you're 7.5-point favorites tonight.
But I just...
That's a lot.
I just can't
or
do
sorry,
it.
Sunday. The game's
that's
not tonight.
That's what's throwing me off.
I told us, I was like...
I didn't want to correct you.
I told Nick, I'm like, today's game day. We're treating it like today's game day, and then I really took it seriously.
But it's just killing me. The people that are just like, oh, man, it's going to be a 7-game series. It's like, okay.
Well, like, I thought Inside the NBA last night did it the right way, where they were definitely like, Cavs are going to win this series, but then they just tried to give the Pacers some credit and some respect. What's amazing is we're taking on a team that if you listen into anyone locally with the Pacers side of things, we talk about us being disrespected as a team. They are the leaders of the we've been disrespected by everybody crowd.
Which is weird because I think they're being propped up. Like, this is a team.
Oh, they don't feel that way at all.
This team had no business being in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They were as much of an Eastern Conference Finals team.
I think they hear that a lot, by the way.
As the Atlanta Hawks were in the bubble.
I think they hear that a lot. I think they heard what you talked about in your diatribe to begin with the idea that Halliburton is not a true number one on a championship team, not a number one, and more likely a number two. They hear that. They hear the overrated NBA player side of things with Halliburton. I think they have been hit with a barrage of people saying they're not good enough. And if you listen to anybody that's there, they'll try to tell you that for the past 2 months, they've been playing elite basketball.
And they, by the way, they have. And they haven't been playing the Cavs.
Well, they did. Just the Cavs didn't play their players when we played them.
But my point was...
We didn't play Garland anybody. Mitchell.
If the East is a two-team race, in which, again, like all of a sudden, that's what it's been. For most of the year, it's been they're a two-team race.
Yeah.
And now... Indiana beats the pants off of Milwaukee, and now all of a sudden it's a three-team race?
Who's making it a three-team race? I don't think anyone's making it a three-team race.
I think
race.
The idea, like, guys, we...
You're 7.5-point favorites.
I keep trying Vegas, just not to, like, make fun of say it with your chest because it's stuck in my brain right
Vegas
now.
Vegas is giving the Cavs as much credit as I feel like we deserve. 7.5-point favorites...
I don't think NBA analysts are.
In a second round of the postseason is incredibly large. And again, I mean, it's not like I've... dialed in on a bunch of different NBA analysts. Maybe you can tell me who you're listening to. But like,
Brad Doherty today. It's going to be a seven-game series.
Seven-game series?
Yeah.
All right.
Greg Anthony said it's going to be, I think, a seven-game series.
I mean, I saw with Inside the NBA guys last night, they were really trying to make sure that they didn't just bypass what the Pacers have done while also acknowledging the Cavs are a much better team.
Isn't that how we're supposed to treat this?
How I'm treating it.
Because here's the thing.
Do you think Doherty was wrong in saying seven games?
I mean, we had Fedor on yesterday. It's going to be a dogfight. 6 or 7-game series.
Well, and Fedor was worried about the five out that the Pacers do. It's like, we'll get over that.
To hell.
Yeah.
Like, you've got easily the two best players. I think the three best players in the series. Like, they've been trying to trade Miles Turner since they drafted him. Pascal Siakam's one of the most overrated players in the NBA.
I like Siakam.
Anyone could score 20 points per game how he does it. And then Tyrese is a really good player, but half of his value's on the defensive side. Well, you can't guard all five positions, unfortunately, Tyrese. Like, the guy that scares me the most in this series is Rick Carlisle. Well, it doesn't matter if you shoved him. Oh, nope, I can't say that.
Easy enough.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do for Rick Carlisle because he has the inferior roster. So, like, okay, maybe they turn it into Cavs and six. But we should go into this with our chest out, puffed out, saying it with conviction. The Cavs in five.
Yeah, the Cavs are the much better basketball team. The Cavs should win this series. It should not be that hard of a series to win. And I think a lot of people are just overreacting based off of a couple months. But you know what? It's got me more excited for Sunday, I'll tell you that.
No, I do think...
I got pumped up for Sunday.
The best thing about this is I do think the quality of the games are going to be a lot closer.
They should be good. They should be good. Like, if I look at the Pacers as like the dollar store version of us... They're the welfare Cavs. Then it should be close games.
Well, and I love that you said that because that's the other part of this. Like, you scored 4.5, almost 5 points per game more than they did, and you allowed per on average, I think it was 3 or 4 points less per game than they did.
So well, and there was a stretch there, Nick, where, I mean, some of those numbers are inflated for them too. There was a stretch there where they had 157 points in a game earlier this year. Like, they were just going crazy. Carlisle was just letting them be an offensive beast, but they ran that in.
I just feel like you're better at them offensively. You're better at them defensively.
You have the best offense historically in NBA history.
Like, if this goes, like, I'm expecting something wonky has to happen for this to turn into a dogfight of a series.
Well, I think the Garland injury has to be more serious. Then maybe we know.
I don't think you need to get Darius to beat them. You do need Darius.
I'm not saying you do necessarily, but I think if we're thinking wonky, I think it has to be a combination of things that just we didn't foresee coming, and a lot of that has to be injury related.
I just want people to this is the last series of the rest of the playoffs that you're going to be able to do what we're doing right now, which is Cavs in five. You go to Boston next. Even if you go to the Knicks next, you should beat the Knicks. We shouldn't be saying Cavs in five in a Cavs-Knicks series until the Cavs beat the Knicks in the playoffs. Boston, they're going to be heavy favorites. You get to the NBA Finals, whomever you face is likely to be the heavy favorite, especially if it involves Jokic or the Thunder or Anthony Edwards. So, this is it. This is the one we should expect the Cavs. And listen, I do think there's something. The Cavs proved in the first round of the playoffs that they're built for this, right? For 2 years, they did not prove a damn thing in the playoffs.
Right.
Yep, okay, we can eke past a bad Orlando team. They beat the brakes off Miami. And this team, if you play your best ball for five games, right, you make them play your ball, this thing's over in five games, even if the differential in the series is a couple points a game.
But I'm trying to figure out how Indiana even gets their one. The way you spoke there, I'm like, how did they even get their one?
It wouldn't surprise me if they took one of the first games in Cleveland. They're a good team. But over the course of five games, you should just be able to overpower them and do what they want to do better than they do on either side of the court.
You have the better team.
216.
Yeah, you have the better team.
216-474-0092. This is not towards JP, and it's not even just towards our guest, Fedor, the great Brad Doherty, the great Greg Anthony. I just feel like we're all puckering on the station. Like, come on. Like, no, the Cavs are the favorite. They won 14 more games. They're the better team. They have the better players. They have, the Cavs are just better. Cavs in five. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I just want to know where your confidence at in this series, because I feel like people are being a little too timid. I know this is Cleveland. This is what we do, right? In Cleveland, we just, we're a naturally humble region. Not now. No, you are the one seed. You are the big dog. Time to go ahead and let the little dog out to pasture. I didn't land the plane on that one. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. Tony East locked on Pacers at 3. He'll probably say the Pacers feel disrespected. Trevor Sikkema, PFF, at 4:20. We got plenty to get to on today's show. Where's your confidence with the Cavs? Cavs in five, and the importance of game one coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Have we forgotten the Cavs kind of finding who they were in the first four games of that Miami series? And I do think the Cavs were ramping up throughout that series. I think they just, the first three games, then Miami just rolled over like a dead dog. But I think the Cavs just every game of that series continue to put it together more. I expect that, I don't want to say momentum, but I expect that health and growth to showcase itself on Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't think any Pacers people, by the way, we're going to have our guy on at 3, and I don't think he's going to come on and be like, the Pacers are going to win this series. I just think the Pacers have played better basketball in the past month and a half or so, and people are kind of, I don't know, they're giving them their flowers because they know how this thing is going to go, is what I think is happening.
I actually think it's that people are waiting. I feel the same way with how people talk about Tyrese Halliburton. I think so many people are waiting what they did last year. And it's like, guys, different year.
Like the Eastern Conference Finals trip was enough to go ahead and as if they made some sort of step forward.
I mean, even when we talked about Fedor and we're comparing Darius to Tyrese Halliburton, he's like, listen, I've seen Halliburton lead his team to an Eastern Conference Finals.
And he was incredible. And he was incredible in that playoffs.
He was, but he and the Celtics had very fateful paths to the Eastern Conference Finals. Most years, that Pacers team doesn't go as far as they did last year. Fair?
Yeah, I mean, but that was a product of the East just being way down. The East looks better this year. And again, maybe the Pacers got a good draw with Milwaukee in round one, but I don't know. It's a weird spot you're putting me in. It makes you almost feel like I'm like defending the Pacers when I was pretty adamant that the Cavs were in a really good spot entering round two. So I don't want to seem like I'm defending the Pacers at all, but I am going to recognize why this Pacers team is much better than I think the perception of it is. And that includes what they even did last year, Nick.
Oh, it's funny. I think the perception is out of whack. I think they're a really good Eastern Conference team.
Everyone in Indiana tells you how they get no respect. No one talks about them in any sort of positive way.
It's also because they're in Indiana. Are.
Well, I mean, it's odd because I listen to them and I tune in, and you know I do this when we get closer and closer with series against other teams. I try to figure out like what they're saying, and all they're saying is it's basically the same things we kept saying all season long. Yeah, it's like copy and paste.
And they're not wrong, by the way. Outside
they seem
of
very disrespected.
Well, okay, but like, what did you really do last year? Like, I'm not trying to be the
they
guy
made it
to
the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know.
But like, the NBA playoffs are normally about who has the most upper echelon talent. I don't think you have two of the best players. I think at best, Tyrese Halliburton's the third best player in the series. And I honestly think people are disrespecting Darius by not having him in the conversation.
I mean, Fedor had him above Mobley yesterday.
And Chris can be wrong, right?
I guess he can.
Chris goes out of his way to be as unbiased as he possibly can. So maybe I'm just the fanboy in this. I think this series is going to bear out who the real best team in the, ready for it, Central Division is.
Oh, wow, he brought divisions into play.
And I think
that's how you know he's serious.
And I think you're going to see the gap between these two teams. And whether it's Evan, whether it's Darius, if he actually does play in enough of these games, like, I think the Cavs are well positioned to make a statement in this series. In the same way, listen, they're not going to make the same statement they were in Miami because Indiana is a better team, but you know, if you cover tonight, if you win by 8 points or more against this Pacers team, that's the beginning of a statement against this Indiana team.
I'm going through their postseason last year. They went through the Bucks, then they went through the Knicks. But the Knicks was a 7-game series, Nick. Like, that was, I think that's where Halliburton gets a lot of love, because he really was. And especially in the biggest moments, that's when he came to shine in just a magnificent way. And then obviously the Eastern Conference Finals was just a blowout, and it was what it was.
216-474-0092. And I think game one's going to tell the tale of the tape.
That's how I see it too.
It like, really
we'll know after game one if this is going to be a blowout, continue to be what it is, or if this is going to be a gear it up. Doherty was right. 7 games is what it is.
It would not surprise me if the Cavs blew out the Pacers in game one.
I mean, aren't you kind of expecting something big? Again, we're 7.5-point favorites. Like, I want to give you credit for, you know, putting your chest out there and saying it with conviction and all these other things.
As I tend to do when I say those
things.
But
you are 7.5-point favorites. Like, that's not a tiny number. Like, Vegas really does believe the Cavs are a significantly better team than the Pacers are.
Well, okay, then why? Because maybe it's just every NBA analyst we've had on the station.
Maybe they're trying to sell a fight. I'm not sure.
See, okay, that also,
people don't love the idea that for so many months, everyone tells them the playoffs are when we'll talk about the Cavs and when it matters the most. And then when we get to the playoffs, we do very little talking about the Heat because the Heat series was trash. And then the Pacers series, if it's a blowout and you win in 5 games, guess what, guys? We're not going to talk a bunch about it because there won't be that much to talk about.
Okay, I don't hate what you're saying right now because I do think...
Breaking news at 11. Dominant sports team continues to dominate. Okay.
I do think there's a lot of people selling a fight on this. And so the reason why it matters is... You're just then not giving the Cavs their flowers. And that's what I hope the Cavs are hearing. How much, oh, the Pacers are a dangerous team. Oh, you know, they score a lot. Man, if only there was a team in Cleveland that scored more and was more dangerous. they've really stepped up the defense here recently. If there only there was a team that had better defensive ratings throughout the regular season. The Cavs are both better offensively and defensively. So, like, I don't see how this turns into a series that we truly worry about. And during the games, guys, we're going to worry. Indiana should play you a hell of a lot closer. Agreed. But, like, I don't know, man.
You're not going to find it from me. I think the Cavs are a significantly better team than the Pacers, and I can't find many areas where I think the Pacers are better than the Cavs. Offensive rebounds, you know? Like, is that it? I mean, we can go list by list and thing and everything that they do. It's not that the Pacers are bad. It's just the Cavs are better in every area.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Demos and Shaker. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I agree with your points. I think it's going to be a 5-game series. But I do, Nick, you brought up, I think they might take one in Cleveland just because of Carlisle and who knows, you know, what could happen here. And then the whole, Cleveland scene is going to go into, like, you know, panic overdrive. But let's you know, you guys have been very rational about why we're going to be there in five. Part of it is also the national media doesn't look at either team. Okay, Cleveland's been the best team all year, and all they can talk about is Boston and the Knicks. Okay, so I'm not really that concerned that we're going to be underrated by them, because we've been underrated all year by them. So that won't matter to me at all. What will matter to me is that our rotation is nice and big. And even with Darius, maybe he's not going to be, you know, there the whole time. Remember last year, Bickerstaff wore our guys down to a nub, and then Orlando beat us up. And then when we got to Boston, it was like we just couldn't hang. This year, that's not the case, and I think that's the biggest difference, is this year is not last year. We have a better coach, probably, okay? Almost for sure we have a better coach, okay? So let's not panic. Cavs in five.
Love that, Demos. Appreciate you. 216-474-0092. Maybe if you were playing – so I was going to say maybe if you're playing New York, I'd feel different about this, because there'd be the historical precedents.
You would.
But they're not the physical Knicks anymore.
No, but you'd still feel a little bit differently about it. I imagine you would, because even if you think the Pacers are a better team than the Knicks, there's a lot that comes with playing the Knicks. Whether that's even just playing at the Garden, the bright lights, the series from 2 years ago in the postseason, there's just so much more that comes with that. But this is not the main entree. This is the appetizer, and that's okay. Appetizers are good. We'll have fun with this, but I think every fan, it's hard to sell yourself that this is everything and then some. This is the main meal, because it isn't. Boston's the main meal.
Yeah, maybe this is my way of thinking about it, but like the Pacers have to prove they're in the Cavs league. The Cavs don't have to prove they're in the Pacers league.
Agreed,
100%. Because it isn't last year's playoffs, and it's interesting. The Atkinson thing is real. Like, Kenny Atkinson, I think, versus Rick Carlisle is a – if you really just love basketball and matchups and matchups. I'm just starting to say generic things about basketball. you know, post-ups and being at the elbow. No, if you love the matchup wars where, all right, I'm going to change this lineup, or I'm going to change this tactic, or I'm going to go to this defense, it's going to be great for that. But I just don't know how much of a difference Rick Carlisle can make – when there's another good coach sitting across from him. Even the Darius stuff bugs me. Like, I think it's fair to say, all right, where is Darius's health and how does it impact here? Mm-hmm. But the idea that the dude hasn't played with the toe injury, right? But he was fantastic in the first two games of this. And people are already earmarking a regression for Darius. It's like, for the love of God, let the man play again before we just say he can't do what he did in the first two games of the Miami series.
We just don't know. That's the difference. There's a question mark there. I don't think it matters for this series, but it will matter for the Boston series.
And listen, I think we all understand that this series becomes interesting the second the Cavs lose a game. And for TV ratings, for it getting the kind of coverage that you want it to, the earlier the Cavs lose a game in this series, the much more interest...
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Greater interest that this series is going to generate, I don't think it matters. I think the Cavs are the heavy favorite for a reason, and I'm going into this excited because this is a tougher test.
Yeah,
I think, and I said something similar to this yesterday. This is probably what led to this. I think the Miami stuff should have raised our standard.
I think it did for some people, though. Like, again, that's why we played that clip from Broussard. I think for some people it did. I think for some people it did raise the standard, and I think they gave the Cavs a lot of credit, and they should. You can't tell us do it in the postseason all year long, and then when you do it in the postseason, we don't then want to recognize.
It was just against Miami.
I know. That's the hard part. Is so many people go to that line, and that's ridiculous.
Saucy Old Mayor saying Cavs in six. Maxwell in Lakewood, how are we feeling about this series?
Oh, we're feeling fantastic, boys. I don't know about you. Well, obviously you guys love it too. But I want to say, point out that I don't know if you guys watched the Knicks game last night.
Yeah.
But it just felt like rewatching the Cavs from 2022 all over again.
You mean JB just not knowing what to do? Especially not putting Thompson in for the final 3 minutes defensively?
Yeah. I just, seeing the way Atkinson just prepares our players and the focus of Donovan Mitchell just never letting anything get into his head, I think we're just so above the bright being too light or letting the pressure get into us at all. I think Kenny Atkinson and Donovan Mitchell with their leadership and the rotations, I think our boys are going to be ready, and I think we're going to take good care of business as we always do. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Maxwell.
Maxwell, appreciate you. Yeah, you know, I think JB just should have yelled at the officials more.
It was nonstop. I swear to God, he didn't stop. From the moment the game started, he just started yelling from the sidelines, and he didn't stop.
So I do think that style of the referee writing, I do think it works better with that kind of team where you're a physical team and you're a gritty team. And I do think it works better for that team. At some point, though, you have to shut up and let your players play.
5-point lead. Thompson, who's known for his defense, didn't go in for 3 minutes and 52 seconds for that game, and he just absolutely tanked his team's chances of winning.
Although, Malik Beasley, after the game, saying, I'm the best shooter in the world, and Thompson's the best defender in the world, I would like him immediately drug tested.
Yeah, I never hate when players do that, though.
You're quality NBA players. Shut up, Malik. You're on your seventh team, okay?
No, that's like Mario Chalmers thinking on a team with Dwayne Wade that he's the better player. Like, I never hate the irrational confidence from a player. Sometimes I can appreciate that.
Okay. So you like, in that like, moment you like after the that Deion spot, Waiters thing?
Yeah,
Deion Waiters, exactly right. Jumping on the other side of the court with his arms saying, like, I'm wide open?
Deion Jordan, exactly right. Yeah. I love irrational confidence from athletes. It's a little character flaw that I have, is anytime I see a quote like that or a tweet like that, I'm like, you know what? It's not real, but I love that your brain goes there and you think that.
Why are people afraid of the Pacers? Actually, I'm going to answer that question before anybody even try. I think if you're afraid of the Pacers, you're really just afraid of the Cavs. I think if anybody out there thinks the Pacers can beat the Cavs in this series, what we're really saying is the Cavs can beat themselves in this series. And
will we find any national pundit to actually say the Pacers will beat the Cavs in the series?
It'll be Barkley.
Who are we going to find?
It'll be Barkley after the Pacers win a game, and then he'll immediately flip-flop back after the Cavs then win the next game.
Maybe we get someone like that, because I'm convinced that Barkley wants to be wrong like two or three times a month in a laughably just bad way because he thinks it's funny. That's where I'm just convinced of that theory. But like, I don't know that we're finding anybody that's going to put the Pacers above the Cavs.
216-474-0092. How much will game one matter? And how much will it tell us about this series for the Cavaliers? Cavs are going to win. Cavs in five. Cavs are going to blow them out in game one. And the longest reigning head coach in major American sports says goodbye in 5 minutes in quick hits on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's quick hits.
JP, I'm trying to figure this one out. Jerome Ford reportedly taking a pay cut from $3.5 million to about $1.5 million to stay with the Cleveland Browns. That pretty much, I don't want to say eliminates, but I mean, Mary Kay saying this probably spells the end of Nick Chubb in Cleveland. Did I miss where Jerome Ford was bad and deserved a pay cut?
Averaged over 5 yards a carry last year.
I mean, the guy's got...
one of the best yards per carry attempt in all of the NFL.
He's got 2,000 yards from scrimmage in the last 2 years. Kind of dirty. It's kind of a dirty squeeze by the Cleveland Browns and Jerome Ford.
Well, they put him in an interesting spot, right? Because my read on it is pretty simple. It's like, hey, Jerome Ford, if you don't want to take the pay cut, then we can figure something out for you on a different team, but we'll give you opportunities and chances like you had last year if you stay with us and you make $1.75 million. And I think at this point in his career, he just kind of took the money. But if I was Jerome Ford, I think he's really talented. People are down on him, and they've always been down on him. You know me. I'm a yards per attempt guy. I care about that. And he was really good last year.
I just think he's one of those guys where like, he's not the fastest guy on every team. He's not the biggest guy on every team, but this is a guy who absolutely could be a 1,000-yard back and like a 1,200-yard back. I don't even like the fact that he's been kind of miscast as like just a change of pace back. I think he's a good running back. And I just feel bad for him.
Well, he gets labeled as almost like a home run hitter and that's it. And that's why his yards per attempt numbers is so skewed all the time, because he just has those big time runs and then you see a lot of 1 or 2 yard gains. But 5.4 yards per carry last year, Nick, would have had him sixth in the NFL, right behind Jahmyr Gibbs and tied with Bucky Irving.
I mean, just why we got squeezed, Jordan? Do you really need, what is it, $1.75 million that bad, Browns? Come on now. Can we squeeze that out of somebody else who like doesn't do anything? Like a quarterback who's not going to play this year? I know they can't.
Omaha! All right, new story around Henry Ruggs. So Josh Jacobs was talking to the media, and he says he still talks to Henry Ruggs, and he was saying Ruggs trains while in prison. Now, Ruggs at this point is 26 years old. He obviously pled guilty to the one count of driving under the influence resulting in the death of a 23-year-old girl. It was a felony, and he had another vehicular manslaughter charge as well. He's first up for parole August 5th of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So it will have been over 4 years of him not playing football, but he thinks he's ready to go. And I don't think it's crazy to think that an NFL team would take a chance. Do you feel like the NFL would take a chance on Henry Ruggs right out of prison?
Yes. I mean, he'll have to do some like image rehabilitation, but it's the NFL. They'll do this kind of stuff. I also would like to point out, is anybody not working out in prison? Like, is there anybody not lifting weights in prison? Because I've watched a couple prison shows, and it seems like that's one of three things that happens in prison.
I don't think I would work out in prison. I think everyone okay. Everyone thinks that they would. Everyone thinks like, oh, all I would do is work out all day. No, I'd be like Brooks. I think I would just I'd just read books all day probably.
Yeah, but he got that because he was old. You would, for your own safety, you would need to.
My own safety? You think me working out is going to save me in prison in any sort of way?
It might. It might give you a chance.
I'm 6'2". I've worked out in previous parts of my life. I wasn't adding much muscle anyway. Like, I'm the type of person, the only way I add muscle is if I legitimately drink enough protein to add muscle. What protein intake am I getting in prison?
I don't think I can answer that on air.
Ah, that was an awful setup.
Much like how things are going in prison, you did walk right into that.
Could not have been a worse setup for myself there.
Greg Popovich is no longer the Spurs head coach. He's transitioning to a team president role after suffering from health issues this year. There was actually a kind of recent health issue at a restaurant. Where does Greg Popovich rank in the pantheon of great basketball head coaches?
Phil Jackson 1, Greg Popovich 2.
Okay. Yeah, he's got to be top three. I just think, like...
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Phil won with a Jerry Reinsdorf-led organization, even if he had Michael Jordan.
You're missing the Lakers years, too, though.
He walked into Shaq and Kobe. I mean,
you can say he walked into whatever he wanted to walk into. The man ended up with, 11 rings in total?
I guess Pop also walked into Tim Duncan and David Robinson.
That's a funny thing about Pop today. So there's a lot of... A lot of history that's interesting with Pop. Obviously, he was in the front office, and then he was like, screw it. I've never been a head coach, and I want to be a head coach. So he made himself the head coach. But he did legitimately build up the Spurs in a way that he deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, like, finding Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. He always took everybody else's odds and ends and turned them into something. You know, like a guy like Gary Neal, who was just like a Euro player that turned into something real. Yeah, he's definitely top three to me. And I guess if we're just going sheer rings, you can give Phil it. If you said Greg Popovich was the greatest NBA head coach ever, it wouldn't bug me at all. Like, doing what he did in San Antonio, an organization that had never had that. I know they had Iceman. I know they had some teams before. I mean, that organization was well on its way to wasting all of David Robinson's prime when he came in and won that championship with Duncan and Robinson.
Yeah. We could probably do that debate for another 15 minutes. Steve Smith Sr. sued under what is called the home wrecker law. Okay, so he obviously was caught up in a situation a couple months ago, and the situation
caught
became
up more than that.
Yeah, well, yeah. So he was sleeping with what the articles was calling it a Ravens band member, which is funny because that's like a. That's a wife with kids and everything, but she's like part of the Ravens band.
Also, apparently a member of the NFL Network film crew at one point.
Oh, really?
She had a lot of jobs.
How about that? Well, so my only problem with this, so the guy that got cucked here, he ended up, he's the one suing for $100,000. But my problem is that he's the one that released all the stuff on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you get to sue for $100,000 when you're the one that put it out there for everyone to see?
Because he's the cuck.
I get that. I'm well aware of the dynamics that play here. But
so you think it's different because he has public shame in addition to private shame?
I think when you made it public is the part of the real distress that you're suing over the $100,000 for.
No, I think it's finding graphic text messages where Steve Smith Sr. allegedly and his and your wife were.
I think the public part of that was way worse than if he would just found that and just kept it to himself.
No, I think it's all bad. I don't think any of this is good.
Is it worth $100,000? If you're the judge, is that worth $100,000?
I know you're asking me, like, if you're the judge.
You're the judge
situation.
Now. You're the judge now. Do you award him $100,000, which is what he's asking for, or do you tell Steve Smith, like, yeah, that wasn't great by you, but the distress, nah, it doesn't warrant $100,000.
He gets $100,000.
I knew you'd give it to him. Yeah. You're like, you're gonna be one of those judges that go above the asking price.
Yeah,
you're like, this was so egregious. I give you $250,000.
You listen here, buddy. You go find a nice lady.
Omaha.
The Houston Chronicle is reporting the Texas Longhorns will pay their roster, their football roster, $35 to $40 million this year, with Arch Manning being the highest paid Longhorn. This includes $20.5 million in revenue sharing, plus the money from the Texas NIL, which will be shortly going away as revenue sharing takes over. But specific to this year, would you rather be a top college football player at Texas or a roster fodder level NFL player?
I guess it varies. What
the amenities in college are so much better.
Am I Arch Manning or am I like an offensive lineman?
You're a starter on a Texas team, so you're going to make.
Because I know the offensive linemen have like the pancake fund or whatever they call it at Texas, where like you're guaranteed. I think the number is legit like $69,000. I don't know, but I think it's like
nice.
That. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. You're making so much more money. Depends on the position.
I mean, listen, they both probably make about the similar amount of money. The residuals at Texas, that's just the talent on Texas. I mean, just wow.
It's a lot of money. You do get a pension in the NFL. I want to start that clock early.
I don't.
I want to start that thing going. You get lifetime money if you hit X amount of years.
There's other things I want to start going.
You just want to hang out with all the Texas co-eds.
If I was 21, yeah, yes.
But you act like the NFL... The NFL swag game is empty.
It's not as innocent.
You act like it's empty and it's like the cupboard's bare.
Once you get to the NFL, it's an insidious game.
Promise you, there's a lot hanging around the NFL as well.
It's just an insidious game in the NFL, whereas in college it's more lighthearted, right?
We got to plan out your trips more if you're in the NFL, I would imagine, right? In college, you're in Texas, you're staying at one university, everyone comes to you.
Just walk across the hall.
Yeah. Whereas in the NFL, you're like, shoot, I'm playing in Tampa this week, I got to set something up.
Like, that's why the real name of the game is just find somebody in college, because once you get out of college, I mean, you're trying to hit a fish in the middle of the ocean with a single dart.
Omaha!
I think that was a good analogy.
NFL uniform announcement. The league is going to unveil a basically their version of the City Edition jerseys beginning this year. The AFC East and the NFC West are going to kick off the four-year rollout. What they're doing with this, though, is they're going to copy what the MLB and the NBA have. This is beyond your alternate uniforms. This is a City Edition uniform. The problem here is that the Browns won't be able to have their jersey until the last year of this in 2028.
I think these things are going to be good. Now, I don't know if you mentioned this stat, but the fact that because it's built around the rivalries, you're going to have to wear it one out of every 3 years. So you're going to have to wear it at least once in a three-year span. I just am really worried specifically with the Browns when we finally get it. It's not going to be any good because we've seen how they try to do the unis anyways.
Well, so the Cleveland Guardians City Connect uniforms might be their best uniform they have. And I like I really like the land ones, the light blue ones that the Cavs have. So I'm holding out some hope, but we've seen them mess it up in different spots routinely when it comes to the City Edition jerseys.
I don't have a lot of faith they'll get it right. But maybe this will be the thing that they actually finally get new unis, like alternate unis that are
awesome.
But do
you like the idea that the NFL is now letting people do more of this, right? Like,
yes.
You have more helmets than you've ever had now.
Yep.
You have more options than you've ever had. It does take away the nostalgic factor of it all, though. And I think the NFL was built on a lot of that.
I think more choices, the better. I don't know. I don't know if the Browns are going to be able to make it work. But yes, I love the multi-shell. I wish they didn't have to go through such a rigorous approval just to get different shells. Like, mm-hmm. The one that they might go to this year, they've been in the process of getting that approved since the white helmets were approved like 3 years ago.
Yeah, they move at a snail's pace with this stuff. But again, we don't have to worry about the jerseys for us for another 3 years.
Now, then we'll still have to worry because we got to see what they look like. But that was Quick Hits. When we come back, we continue on talking about the next rung of the playoffs, the Cavs versus the Pacers with Tony East. He hosts the Locked On Pacers podcast. And we'll ask how much of a chance the folks in Indiana are giving themselves in this series. It's probably going to be better than the one we gave them earlier. Cavs in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.